Hello and welcome to the Atlanta Opera Podcast. My name is Emma Grimsley, and I'm one of the assistant directors for the Atlanta Opera's production of Richard Wagner's Götterdämmerung, or The Twilight of the Gods. Here are five things you need to know about Götterdämmerung. Number one, the fourth and final chapter. All good things must come to an end, and for Wagner's Ring Cycle, Götterdämmerung is that end. All of you Ring Cycle fans out there know that Wagner's Der Ring des Nibelungen is a tetralogy, a four-part series of epic, mythology-inspired operas that premiered in the 1860s and 70s. Rheingold is the first, Die Walküre is the second, Siegfried is the third, and Götterdämmerung, which premiered in 1876, exactly 150 years ago this summer, is the fourth and final chapter. I highly recommend scrolling back through the Atlanta Opera podcast and listening to episodes of Five Things to Know and Blink Opera about the first three operas in the cycle. But here's the beautiful part. Wagner wrote the operas of the Ring Cycle specifically so that you don't need to have seen the first three to dive right into Götterdämmerung. Wagner built recaps into the drama. The characters themselves explain all the mystical, mythological action that got them to this point. One of my absolute favorite facts about the four-part structure of The Ring is that when Wagner had the idea to write this absolutely gargantuan story, it was the plot of Götterdämmerung that he sketched out first. Wagner wrote the libretto for Götterdämmerung and then realized it might need a prequel for context, so he outlined Siegfried. Then he realized that Siegfried might need his own prequel. That was Walküre. Then Walküre needed a prequel. That was Rheingold. Once he had the sequence sorted out, he spent about 20 years writing all the music in order. Rheingold first, then Walküre, then Siegfried, then Götterdämmerung. And that's what makes Götterdämmerung such a transcendent masterpiece. By the time Wagner got around to writing the music for this final opera in the cycle, the one he'd been dreaming about since the very beginning, he had three whole operas worth of glorious musical ideas to draw from. As a result, Götterdämmerung is the richest, deepest, and most immersive of the four. Number two, leitmotif. There's no doubt that Wagner was an innovator. With every opera he composed, he experimented with new ways of using music to tell stories. There's a very intentional unity between music and drama in Wagner's works, which he engineered using leitmotifs. A leitmotif is a short musical idea that, using melody, harmony, and rhythm, represents an element of the story, like a symbol or a calling card that you can hear. If you think you can't name a leitmotif from Wagner's Ring, you're wrong. Possibly one of the most recognizable few notes in music comes from Die Walküre. Da-dun-da-dun-da-da, the Ride of the Valkyries. That little tune is the leitmotif Wagner used as a musical symbol to represent the Valkyrie sisters, specifically the Valkyries riding their mighty flying horses. Whenever Wagner wanted the audience to understand that what's happening on stage has something to do with the Valkyries, or even a memory of the Valkyries, he wrote that specific leitmotif into the music. There are hundreds and hundreds of leitmotifs in The Ring. There's one for love, and one for grief, for fate, for fire, for revenge. They help the audience navigate both the story and the character's emotional subtext. And in Götterdämmerung, you'll hear them all. Number three, the world of mortals. When Wagner started writing the Ring operas, he was eager to do something non-traditional. Originally, he wanted to sidestep usual operatic conventions of the time and do something totally new by writing all four Ring operas without a chorus. And for the first three operas in the cycle, that's exactly what he did. But by the time he got around to writing Götterdämmerung, it was clear to him that a big old chorus was exactly what the final installment of the cycle needed. In the very first scene of the very first opera, Alberich steals gold from the Rhine River and forswears love forever in order to forge that gold into a magical ring that can rule the world. The three operas that precede Götterdämmerung follow the ring as it corrupts gods, giants, and all sorts of powerful mystical beings. In Götterdämmerung, though, the power of the ring makes its way into the world of mortals. The ring's power corrodes the people of the kingdom of Gibich, ruled by Gunther and his sister Gutruna. Acts 2 and 3 utilize all the vocal might of the amazing Atlanta Opera Chorus as chaos shakes the court of the Gibichung, and mortals navigate a world that's been warped by the greed and transgressions of the gods. Number 4, the daunting length. There's no way around it. Götterdämmerung is long. Act 1 is about 2 hours and 4 minutes. Act 2 is 1 hour and 8 minutes. Act 3 is 1 hour and 22 minutes. Altogether, that's about 4 hours and 34 minutes. One of the longest operas in operatic history. But call me crazy, Götterdämmerung's length is one of my favorite things about it. There's nothing worse than when your favorite show or movie franchise or book series tries to rush the ending. Think of it as Wagner writing one last amazing, extra-long episode for the season finale. If you're feeling daunted by the length, you're not alone. But don't worry. The two intermissions give you plenty of time to sip fancy drinks in the lobby and catch your breath. At 3 of the performances, there's even time to grab dinner at the theater between acts 1 and 2. Plus, you've gotta hang in there for the end. I can't think of anything more musically worth it than the final minutes of this very, very, very long opera. Number 5, A Woman Saves the World. It's always worth it to confront the complicated legacies of historic works of art. And Wagner's legacy is messy. Wagner was a genius, but he was also a deeply flawed individual. Wagner's body of work is brilliant, yet morally complicated, and it's been utilized for dark nationalistic purposes in the century and a half since it was written. Our contemporary perspective grants us crucial context for Wagner's work. That means looking back and contending with the bad. But it also means acknowledging the things about Wagner that put him light years ahead of his time in a good way. Take Brunhilde, for example. At the center of Götterdämmerung is the Valkyrie Brunhilde. She's a warrior, a sage, and an all-around powerhouse. Despite the deeply misogynist social constructs of the Victorian era in which Wagner was writing, he gave us a leading lady who is one of the strongest, most dynamic, and most deeply heroic characters in all of opera. She's the wisest person in the room. She's no helpless damsel in distress. And not to give away the ending, but in the face of heartbreak and grief, confronted with the ways in which the men in her life have time and again let her and all of humanity down, she does what nobody else is able to do and ends up saving the whole entire world. Now you have some insight into our upcoming production of Götterdämmerung, which will be performed at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center May 30th and June 2nd, 5th, and 7th. Thank you so much for joining me on the Atlanta Opera Podcast. If you'd like to prepare for Götterdämmerung by watching our previous Ring Cycle productions, Das Rheingold, Die Walküre, and Siegfried, don't forget to check us out at stream.atlantaopera.org. All of our previous productions are available to stream, and you can explore all our backstage content, including additional interviews, special features, and more. If you enjoyed 5 Things to Know About Götterdämmerung, please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you find us. It's a great way for more people like you to find out about our content. And don't forget to subscribe for more great episodes about all of our upcoming productions this season. See you at the theater.